We rise. Grace, mercy, and every blessing be to each one of you through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the Word of God which comes from Mark chapter 6. Then he, that is Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, "In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is God's word. You may be seated. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, maybe you remember from science class what happens when you try to put two positively charged magnets together. They resist. If they're strong enough, those magnetic fields will not allow you to connect those two magnets. It is possible to reverse the polarity of magnets, though. However, you will never find a magnet doing it on its own. Something else has to cause that reversal to happen. Jesus enters with mighty works. You would think that of all the places where Jesus would be welcome, he would be welcome in his own hometown, Nazareth, his country. We read from verse 4, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there. And verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus entered with mighty works. He entered with miracles. He entered preaching and teaching the saving gospel of the forgiveness of sins that he was bringing. He excluded no one from his plan of redemption. In fact, John said he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Yet he receives a resistant charge, a magnetic force that will not allow him to connect, that forces him, in fact, to leave, as he says, because of their unbelief. Verse 2, they ask, "What wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" Nazareth was thought of as Jesus' hometown, his stomping ground. Before Jesus had embarked on his public ministry, before his baptism, this was the place he grew up. To these people, he had just been a boy. He had done no miraculous things beyond the fact that he was smart, he was quiet, he was well-mannered. He was the son of Joseph, the carpenter. The works of his hands, as far as these people were concerned, were supposed to be fixing tables, not fixing diseases. This would be like your local handyman walking into the university and claiming he's ready to teach philosophy. We read they were offended at him. That word offended pictures an obstacle, a trap that these people have fallen into. A polar charge that won't allow Jesus to connect. They have amazement on the one hand and skepticism on the other. And maybe you've known some people who, when you mix that kind of thinking together, skepticism can be a very dangerous thing. In fact, the offense went much deeper than just knowing Jesus from his youth. We read in verse 12 of how Jesus sent his apostles out preaching repentance. In fact, earlier in Mark, in chapter 1, he speaks of Jesus' whole ministry when he says, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance is a stumbling block to us. Jesus came preaching that recognition of sin and the need for a Savior. In fact, this was the mighty work that he brought, the gospel message. And to tell those of his hometown, his family, who was this carpenter's son, to tell them they needed repentance or they needed forgiveness. Unbelief was a magnet that only resisted. How often are we also offended as we find those stumbling blocks in front of us, especially when it comes to the preaching of repentance that we would like to push away? Because repentance calls for humility, and humility calls for faith, and faith calls for trusting in someone other than myself. Because a lot of times the gospel just doesn't always seem like enough. It doesn't fix every problem the way that we had planned it to. In fact, we want to be the carpenter ourselves, where we design our own blueprint for how our lives fall into place according to our desires. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This carpenter comes to tear down what we have built and to build something of his own. He sends out his disciples to do the same thing. Some are offended. In fact, the world we live in today is very much opposed to offending anyone with our words. But we read in verse 11, whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. I too fall into that trap of wondering if I should preach about sin or I should just tell people things that will make them feel good about themselves. But Jesus calls upon us out of love to show sin, to have it in our own lives. In fact, Paul, as he went out preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 13, followed the same instruction. We read, Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said to the Jews, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. Notice how those who were listening judged themselves unworthy. Because the saving work of the gospel does not just wait around or ignore when it's resisted. The stronger the push, the further away it seems to travel. And that was the experience in Jesus' ministry as he went to the cross. Jesus moves on. But notice also where he moves on to. We read of how Paul and Barnabas turned to the Gentiles, continuing to preach that message. Where he is welcome, there he will remain. Now, we have seen what the cause was for pushing away the gospel, that the unbelief was their own fault or our own fault. But is the opposite true? Does the gospel come and stay because we have reversed the polarity in our own lives? Because we are attracted to Jesus or we accept him? Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We should never look at side A of the coin when it comes to Scripture, and if side A exists, then side B must also exist, because the opposite is not true. This is why the mighty work of Jesus was needed. The mightiest work of all, to change hearts. Where unbelief opposed, Jesus had come to bring faith, to welcome himself through the preaching of the gospel. In fact, that mightiest work was Jesus traveling the Mount of Jerusalem to go to the cross, to bring something that we could not achieve. When Jesus met Nathanael, one of his apostles, he prophetically told Nathanael how he saw him sitting under a fig tree. And Nathanael was amazed. But Jesus says in John 1, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus enters with mighty works. He journeys to the cross where he takes with him every one of your sins, where he carries your guilt, your resistance, and in a cry of despair, he suffers for the agony of hell for every one of you. As we read in Ephesians of this great work, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, his mighty work toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That same work that raised Christ from the dead, declaring you forgiven, is also what convinces you that Jesus has paid for all your sins. That life does not consist just in the things of this world, but in so much more. This is where Jesus dwells, where he remains, where he is welcome. As Ephesians goes on, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Indeed, by grace we have been saved and have this welcoming faith. Some of you may have lost power this last week. The storms rolled through and took down power lines and trees, causing much damage. Where was God? Was he with you? John writes of Jesus' words, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus has made his home with you. And so no matter what storms are tearing through your life, you know that he is in your heart. He's in the word with you. He's bringing you that strength. The carpenter, Jesus, has designed a blueprint to secure every one of your needs, to build a home for you in heaven. He didn't come short on any supplies or any needs in this design. But if he was willing to go to the cross for you, surely he's ready to get you there. It's easy for us to take this for granted. Especially if you've grown up in the CLC, maybe you've heard this message of the gospel Sunday after Sunday, we hope. And yet how easy is it to forget about how precious this is? This coming week, Traveling Vacation Bible School is going to be sending 6 volunteers here to help us distribute flyers for Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of July. In fact, we're even going to be sending them out likely 2 by 2 up and down streets so that no one's ever alone in doing this work. Think of that one soul who has never heard of this saving message of Jesus. Think of that one soul. Maybe they don't come to VBS. Maybe they don't have any kids. And yet, maybe they read the back of that pamphlet of that saving message and gospel of Jesus, where he becomes welcome by his mighty work of saving that soul. So that when we get to heaven, there we see one more soul that was convinced of what Jesus had done. And so we thank God that Jesus is welcome among us. In fact, you have shown this by calling a pastor here to preach the gospel to you Sunday after Sunday, by supporting myself and my family in this work. You have welcomed Jesus to stay, just like the disciples in verse 10. In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. Like the power of 2 magnets clinging together, opposites though we might be, Jesus clings to us. May God keep this gospel alive, both in preaching and in our hearts, as we welcome Jesus to stay forever. Jesus enters with mighty works. Amen.